Hey everybody, and welcome back to the EV Cafe Takeaway. Yes, it is. It's that podcast focused on a zero emission future. And this week we've got the lovely Stuart Humphrey, a Christmas cracker in person. Welcome, Stuart.
Good afternoon, everyone.
And we're also joined by the lovely Sarah Sloman, a fellow EV Cafe-er. Sass, how are you? So just, Sass, tell us the nickname, Sass. Sass, why is it Sass?
Sass is actually my initials, but I have been likened to have a very military approach to things. But also, as was very kindly pointed out when I created my YouTube, it is strategic and accurate and straight talking. Hey!
There you go. And sassy.
So, a bit.
To those of you that don't know. But Stuart, you're the star of today's show, and we are so excited to have you on because, Stuart, you were a Christmas cracker. So for those people that missed it, explain what a Christmas cracker was. Can you remember? Well, hopefully you can.
So it was celebrating 12 different people that were giving back to the electric vehicle community in various different ways. And from my point of view, I have a particular focus around well-being, but it's just people doing good things in a good space that don't normally get highlighted at award ceremonies and what have you. So it's just an opportunity for them to be noticed and lifted up.
Do you know what? I we couldn't have said that better ourselves, could we, Sass?
No, quite. And actually, but it's really interesting because I just asked Stuart, what made you want to come on the show? And you said, you want to get into panel speaking and practice public speaking. And I'm like, well, nailing it already.
Trying my best. Because this is my first ever podcast, of course.
Way! Good stuff!
Absolutely. So I'm looking forward to it. It will be good fun.
So, Stuart, tell us, how far does this vision of electric, because you are very much an advocate of electric vehicles, and you have been for some years, I know. Where did it begin?
So it goes back to 2014. So I've been doing this for 12 years now. So I'd like to think of myself as an early adopter, I think it's fair to say. So I was due an expensive repair bill on my petrol car, a lovely Peugeot, and I happened to test drive a Nissan Leaf, and when they said to me what the cost would be to lease it per month, it was less than my petrol bill. So it was literally a financial decision to jump to electric. And then it so happened to be that it's zero emissions and it has all these good climate benefits. So from my point of view, I just want to share the experience of being in electric vehicles because I don't want to keep it to myself. I'm having a great time. Everyone else should be.
Do you know what? So you must have bought it from Johnny Berry, right? Because he used to sell Nissan Leafs back in the day?
Oh my God, he did. Yeah.
Probably not down where I am, but yes.
Where are you?
So I'm in West Sussex. I'm just slightly west of Brighton.
That's where he lives.
That is where he's from, yeah.
Oh, maybe I saw him then. Who knows?
Maybe you saw a young Johnny Berry. Maybe he was beardless. That's the story we're going with. We're writing that in the history books that you bought one of the first Nissan Leafs from Johnny Berry.
Absolutely.
Just as he'd left school.
But the weird thing about it is, of course, in the early stages, those Nissan Leafs didn't have a large battery in them. So I had a range of about 95 miles for driving, but it was never an issue for me. So I've never had range anxiety in the 12 years I've been driving electric vehicles. So for me, the cheaper running, and let's be honest, it's fun driving electric vehicles, isn't it? So like I say, for me, it's about sharing that experience because I think for mass adoption, we need to focus on how much fun it is, how much cheaper it is. And then, oh, by the way, you're also doing something really good for the environment.
If you operate a fleet of cars or vans, you'll know electric is the future. Transitioning to EVs can appear daunting, but with Europcar, it's effortless. Our long-term EV rentals eliminate the upfront costs, contract commitments, and uncertainty. Instead, you'll get total flexibility, a wide choice of cars and vans, and Europcar's expert support. So, make the switch without the stress and experience Europcar. Search Europcar Business.
I really support that. We often find psychologically, if you start honing in on the environmental piece first, it can often put a lot of people off. And we have to look for those what's called triggers. So in your case, it was financial. For others, it's emotional. They need a new car. They love the car they saw. It just so happens to be electric. And speaking of which, I actually met you at Everything Electric on a very wet Sunday. I had my daughter with me. And I was really struck by how wonderful you were, how open you were, how good your questions were of the panel that I was on. So it's an absolute pleasure to have brought you into the EV Cafe community. But you keep popping up. We also saw you on the EV Rally. We saw you at the Global Women in EV Day. Tell us about why you want to be so entrenched in the community.
So from my point of view, I'm neurodiverse, and it's really important to me that we include everyone and we make EVs accessible to everyone. So there should be no excuses whatsoever for not getting into an EV. And there are many different types of people which don't have a voice. And from my point of view, having not seen that for myself, there was an absence. So I was like, right, I'll go and fill the void. I'll go and be the person that is like me, so that hopefully others will see the same and go, actually, it's fine to be who I am and be my authentic self. So I like to lift people up, share their stories, share their content, and just encourage people to do things.
You are very brave, though. You do wear your heart on your sleeve. And there's been many times, many posts. If you don't already follow Stuart Humphreys, make sure you find him on LinkedIn, because he's very open and caring about how people are feeling. And emotive, like buying a car or going through this journey with us, is an emotive subject. Transport touches everybody's lives. And here we are being forced into decisions that not everybody is ready for. And not just that, it's hard out there. The workforce is dwindling. There are people losing their roles. There are companies who are combining forces. And you always maintain this steady direction of travel whereby anybody can contact you at any time. You have a bit of an open book for mental health first aid.
Absolutely. And also, I like to engage with the naysayers as well. And I don't want to engage in an argument. So what tends to happen is we actually come at things from the same point of view, but with maybe a slightly different view of it, but trying to achieve the same thing. And it's about trying to find that common ground so that we can work together and just address any concerns people have or anything that's on their mind. Maybe they've heard some information that isn't correct, but they think it is, and just make sure that everyone is getting the right information so they can make the right decision. And because the strange thing is, I don't actually work in the industry at all. So this is...
I actually did know that.
Yeah. So I don't work in clean energy or electric vehicles. But as you say, it's a passion of mine for the last 12 years. And I just want to make sure that it works for everyone. So, okay, people's different views is the way to go in my view.
Yeah. I mean, this... for me, validates your opinion more than most, because many of us have, you could argue, an axe to grind or some business benefit of waxing eloquent about electric vehicles. Not for you. You are straightforward. This is my opinion, and this is why it matters to me. And so that, for me, is a big stamp of approval. But I wanted to touch on something you said. You said, I'm neurodiverse. Now, that by very nature is diverse. Are you able to talk to us and help describe for people what your challenges are and how you process that for yourself, and how you kind of help other people process with you?
So from my point of view, I'm on the autistic spectrum. So I'm an autistic person, and linked with that, there are different profiles to go with it. So I also have what's called a PDA profile, which is a pathological demand avoidance profile, which means when someone asks me to do something, I have an immediate reaction that I want to not do it.
Oh, I have so, that every time the missus speaks up.
Yes, absolutely. So that presents its own challenges in life, particularly when you're younger, because the adults in your life will demand that you do certain things, and change and uncertainty gets involved with all of that. And also I have something called alexithymia, which is a condition where you can't recognise your emotive state. So I don't recognize sadness, depression, unhappiness, all those things. I don't recognize the emotive state. But what I do notice is the physical symptoms that go with it. Now I'm a little bit older than I used to be. I've found strategies to be able to link the two and found ways to support myself so that I can get through on life. So I'm now 48, having gone through life, and as I said before, because I've not seen other people sharing that kind of information, you could feel very, very lonely because you think you're the only person going through that. So from my point of view, as challenging as it is, I wanted to share my experience so that someone else can go, actually, that's what I'm suffering with. And amazing. Yes, I can lead a normal life. I can do these things. And having passions about projects and what have you, it's not a bad thing. So that's what I'm doing. And I've had people reach out and said, I was worried about starting a new job, but because of what I've been posting, they said, you've helped me regulate myself so that I can do that new job. And that, to me, is just an amazing feeling to know that you're helping people.
Absolutely. And I'm conscious of it. It's something that's both quite funny and also quite touching. So you did a special something for your son, because I think your son is a little bit autistic as well.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah, my younger son is autistic as well. That's how I worked out I was autistic as we were going through his journey. But yes, I did a little something for him, if you're interested.
So, yes, we are interested. Tell us and show us. Right.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to be able to show you, but we'll see. As I was getting a bit older, I decided to have a shorter haircut. Now, with age, not only does receding come into it, but also greyness. So I had a white patch on my head, and as I was cutting my hair, he said to me, you can't cut that piece of hair, Dad. And if you do, I'm not going to go to school.
So very good.
So he kind of bullied me into it. So I said, okay, I'll shave the rest of my head, but I'll keep the white tuft for you. But you have to go to school. And he said, okay, thanks, Dad. We'll call it your unicorn patch. So that was the deal, that I had to keep the white patch. And again, what it goes back to is I want people to feel comfortable being their true self. So I wanted him to see that being different doesn't mean it's a bad thing. Being unique is a good thing. We all bring something different to the table. And I just wanted him to see it's okay to just be yourself and just live the life that you feel comfortable living. And if I can't do that, then he's going to struggle. So I lead by example. And so whether it's doing work to help support neurodiverse people, or whether it's helping women in EVs, just like I say, it's about inclusion and it's about accessibility. So that's kind of my story.
Beautiful.
And this, my friend, is why you were nominated for the Christmas Cracker. However, I do think we need to tell you something, which is the Christmas Cracker thing, really, you know, much like the EV Cafe, started with an idea. An idea that grew legs and became bigger and bigger and bigger. And particularly, you know, Paul, you are a wonderful champion of mental health, and also so is John, and in a more tertiary role, I think thirdly, so am I. And I really asked for that category that you eventually won, because in today's society where there's so much happening and we're lucky to have hobbies and interests and friends and networks and supportive families around us, a boost like that can really make someone's day and drive them on to further bring their message to the fore. So can you tell the listeners, please, a little bit more about what was the category you won? How did it feel to win? And what have you done with it since?
So I won the category for well-being. And for me, it made me feel so good because it made me feel valued. Like I say, I don't work in this industry, but I really want to be part of it to help move it forward. So the transition to electric vehicles happens for the everyday person. And to have the EV Cafe recognize me, it just made me feel part of the family. I mean, as soon as you and I met in Farnborough, and you said you should sort of be part of the EV Cafe in terms of the community. I was like, okay, I'll see what I can do. And I don't stop commenting now. So, but like I say, that's really the thing that I felt really good about, was that I felt valued and I felt a big part of the community. And it's inspired me to keep doing what I've been doing.
Where does that come from in you? Did you grow up with that or without that?
So I've always grown up wanting to help others and making others feel happy. And I guess this just continued from that point of view. And because electric vehicles just sparked something inside me, no pun intended. but because it just felt like something that I could be passionate about, I just wanted to get involved. And I think one of the key things was, at the time when I got my first EV, no one really knew about them. And the salesperson didn't really sell the electric car. And I think, as you were saying, Paul, you can have salespeople that try and sell you the car based on, I've got to get certain numbers this month. But what we really need is real people to say, this is my EV experience, so it resonates more with everyday people. And I always think about various conversations I had with Quentin Wilson, and I said to him about the amount of misinformation that there is out there on social media and what have you. And he said, the best thing that you can do when you spot misinformation is to say, that's not my EV experience. That doesn't resonate with me. That piece of misinformation isn't valid, isn't true. And then share your perspective as to what you do experience. So that's kind of the platform that I leapt off of, to go, actually, what you're saying, Quentin, makes a lot of sense. And I can do that.
It's fantastic. I love how natural all of this is for you. And, you know, as I say, you are part of the community, and that's what we love. You're an advocate around well-being. I know that you are a tremendous support to all of your family. And I remember you introducing me to your son, because he, and I believe he's been driving an electric van for some time now, right?
Yeah, so my eldest, 19, he's part of DPD, so he's driving a Ford E-Transit. So when he passed his test, his first car I got for him was a Renault Zoe. So he had no choice but to start driving electric. But that's the thing. It's like, if you're going to start and EVs are available, why not? And his monthly running costs are so much less because of that. Lead by example. So we're now a 3 EV household.
Fantastic. And Stuart, forgive me, because I should know this. What do you do these days? Are you gainfully employed, or do you do other things?
So my day job is, I'm an IT engineer. So I support IT hardware. And that's what I do. I love doing it. But I also love doing this as a side quest in terms of making the transition happen. So I love reading about what the National Grid is doing in terms of upgrading transmission and including renewables. So I'm always looking to see how much of the grid is renewables. And so, for example, last year we broke 3 records for the UK grid.
Oh, one for
maximum amount of wind, maximum amount of solar, and maximum amount of zero carbon were 3 records that we broke last year. And last month in January, we broke the record for the amount of wind in January, which was 17% more than January last year. So there are real things happening that are really benefiting our grid. But those success stories aren't being shared. So every now and again, I'll grab certain things and I'll post them to share. By the way, you know, that storm that happened meant that we were able to save £164 million from not using gas last month.
No way. I see. But this is the sort of stuff we need. We need a facts from Stuart page on our website.
Fun
facts from Stuart. We should absolutely do this, because that's brilliant.
But because the thing is, if you're not told about those benefits and those wins, when people are saying, right, we need to invest in renewables, your immediate response is, but where's my benefit? where am I going to see my bills get reduced and all those kind of things. So you have to support and share what is happening that is good. So we could say we're already starting to see those benefits come into it. And of course, the cleaner the grid is, the cleaner our electric vehicles are.
Yeah, of course. This is absolutely a fact. And do you have solar yourself? Is that something that you've invested in? I've not invested yet, but is that something you've done?
So I've got 8 solar panels and I've got a 10 kilowatt battery pack in the house. So what I can do is I can actually offset my energy usage to out of hours without having to move what I do during the day. So during the day, I can use my batteries and then I can charge them overnight when the grid's cleaner and it's cheaper. And during the day, I can top it up with solar as well. So
you're right on it, mate.
Idea. I wanted one of those batteries. I remember seeing one about 10 years ago. It's the size of a fridge. And it was, as you say, it's only 7 kilowatt, but it could do exactly as you just described. And I don't have solar, even though I'd absolutely love that. I'm not eligible, not in the right, it's like a conservation zone. None of the roofs are thick enough, strong enough. I've got no roof insulation. I've got nothing. So there's no way. However, it makes perfect sense to do that. And actually, you were there at Octopus on Tuesday this week, which was a really groundbreaking event that a lot of people were really, really desperately sad to not attend. Now, it had a positive outcome to it, which was the hashtag 49 club. So the sort of the 49 collective, it represents the 49% of people who hold driving licenses in the UK who happen to be female. Now, you were one of very few males in the audience that day. Give us your insights on how the day went and what actionable outputs you're going to take from it.
Well, what I'll start with is how I got into being a male ally for women in EVs, because it was a woman called Davina. I don't know if you know her.
We do. I actually nominated Davina for her Woman of the Year award, which she won.
Very well deserved. So she was sharing some information about women in EVs and the fact that they're underrepresented. And I kind of read that post and I thought to myself, well, that's an interesting point of view, but what could I do to help? So I just reached out to her and I just asked that question. I just said, what can I do to help you get more women involved? So what can I do maybe to get other males to embrace having more women in EVs, and just asking that question. So don't be afraid to ask the question. If you don't know the answer to what can I do to help, there are plenty of people who are motivated and involved in the industry that will say to you, yeah, just be an ally. So when I saw Jill promoting the Global Women in EV Day, again, it resonated. And women can't do it on their own. They need us male allies so that we can share the stories, we can embrace the right cultures so that people can feel comfortable to be themselves. And it's one thing to get people through the door, but you need to make sure that you're embracing the right culture so that people can develop. And I don't have all the answers. I don't know everything there is to know, but by attending events like Tuesday, where you've got great panelists discussing these things, it can open your eyes and you can learn new things. And I just attend with an open mind to see what I can do and how I can help and lift other people. It could be sharing stories, it could be sharing content, but just that encouraging role.
Paul, I have a question for you, actually, because you, as I said earlier, you are, in my opinion, one of the strongest leaders out there alongside John about this sort of mental health awareness and inclusion. And you've really made it, you made a pledge yourself, which was to make sure that anybody anywhere will be invited as part of the EV Cafe, you know, with what they need to say. So you're providing a platform. What motivated you to do that? Because EV Cafe, of course, did corporately sponsor the event as well, which we're super proud of. It's cool.
Yeah, for me, it's simple because And Stuart, I love your simplicity.
Me too. You're so good at explaining things. Yeah.
I am genuinely humbled by that idea of how can I help? What can I do? Because I think as men, we are problem solvers. And we come into the room, and this, I know I'm being stereotypical, and this is not, but it's a generalization, and this happens, right? men are, you know, in discussions in homes across the country are always trying to solve the problem when actually we just need to shut up and listen or just ask, how can we help? And I think that there's sometimes there's male traits and there's female traits, but also we need to really get to grips with it. And one of the things that I have always struggled with is, how do I lift up the women around me who are brilliant, by the way, and I am constantly in awe of so many of the women that I get the privilege of working with, around, and for. And how do I do that without appearing patronizing, without mansplaining, or doing all of these things? Because I know we can be bloody stupid at times. I said, well, I'm going to speak for myself. The rest of the male population, you can fight your own battles. But I love that willingness to just, you know, to kind of ask, what can I do to help? Anyway, so to come back to your question, Sass, what was the value? Why do we do this? Because I know there are some brilliant, brilliant minds out there. And sometimes people, and I've seen it many times, there's a particular person in mind, and she would not appear to be like the total business mind and all that sort of stuff. She's you know, perhaps people might perceive her to be a bit glamorous and not necessarily have that really clear thinking, very knowledgeable mind. And I've seen people just overlook them in the conversation and just direct questions to, you know, to male parties within the. And so I've pulled people over afterwards and I've said, listen, ignore so-and-so at your peril. Because they are a decision maker and you need to wake up and smell the coffee, because that would be very silly. And, you know, I think it's an education process, right? So sometimes you can do it with your male colleagues and just say, hello, come on, you just need to appreciate, you know, because you're missing it. You're missing the point. But also, you know, I want women to know that actually safe place, people, we will lift you up and we will give you the opportunity. I'm thrilled about the CV show that's coming up. We've got on the second day, we've got a women in commercial vehicles lunch, and women in commercial vehicles are much less represented than they perhaps might be in the wider business world. And we've got some really powerful speakers in the sessions that are all women leading in industry. It's been great to see Judy O'Keefe, who's the fleet director for Openreach. We've also got other, you know, key leaders there, but also in Openreach, great to see the new CEO is a woman. You know, big, major British organization, and that he's a woman. So there's real progress, but I want to help that progress, really.
But I've got a mantra that I live by with these things, and that is, if we include everyone, everybody wins. And it's about having diverse experiences in life, so you can bring something different to the party. Because if it's only one type of view, then you're excluding other people, which are going to make such a big difference to the products you're selling or promoting and what the future is going to be. So whether that's women or any other type of diversity, I just think you need to include everyone.
Thank you, Stuart, for saying that. I was sitting quietly listening to you both, because I so enjoy other people's perspectives, and I'm a right chatterbox and I ask a lot of questions, which is why I'm good at my job. But when you said that, my favourite phrase is, a rising tide lifts all ships. And it's the same principle. So whilst Paul was talking, I need two hands to count the number of gentlemen that I know who identify as male but aren't confident and wouldn't associate with the description you just gave of what a male may be. And I think that's why it's so important to be good with your questioning. And something that I as a person find annoying is when somebody asks me, what do I do? What can I do? And the reason that annoys me is because it puts the thinking back on me again. What would be amazing is if somebody somewhere who was beginning their career, who wouldn't naturally know how to respond, if you thought about it one stage further and flipped the question in your head and then said to them, I've seen that you have recently got a new job in XYZ. Would you like to meet any of my network? Or something that feels tangible that they can dive into. And they might say, no, but I did wonder if perhaps I could join you at an event, because I never want to go on my own. You know, if you use a question that doesn't have an open answer, sometimes it can be better in this scenario.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you're a wonderful advocate of it. You really are. Well done, Stuart. You're fabulous.
Yeah, and it's a conversation that is a constant challenge. And I think we need to have it on the agenda. And I love that understanding of diversity and the need for every voice in the room to be included. And yeah, I think we underestimate people's voice, from somebody homeless on the street to the CEO of the biggest companies in the UK or the world. You know, everybody's got some value and some insight into life, and it's really cool. Wowzers, we've got into it, but it's exciting, isn't it? You know, to have these kinds of conversations.
Yeah, I mean, I could talk all day, and it's such a lovely community. And I always think back to when I left school, and my teacher said to me, if you're afraid to ask, you're afraid to learn. So from my point of view, I've never been afraid to learn. So it's just getting out there and just trying to see what's going on, try and get involved. But just think, every now and again, what could I do to help someone else?
Yeah.
That's why I just think, what could I do?
Stuart, just share with us a time when it has been particularly difficult. Because, I'm hearing the real positivity. I'm hearing somebody that, as you said, has lived a little bit more of life than they had done a while ago. And you've learned a lot in that time, right? What has been a real downtime, and what are the sorts of things that have really kind of hit you and impacted you? And I appreciate your sense of lack of emotional awareness, but I'm sure that there's things that you can share that will help us understand what it's like to go through on that journey and how you've come out the other side.
So second half of 2025 was particularly difficult for my mental health, and the benefit of being so many times around the sun is that you build up these strategies of how to learn to handle scenarios. So I always say that my life is full of safety nets, but what I really mean is I've built up a catalogue of strategies that when things are difficult, I know how to deal with it. And one of the things I tend to lean into is when I'm having a very, very difficult day, I think to myself, I've had other difficult days and I'm still here because I got through those difficult days. So I know however difficult today is, I got the strength to get through it. And I just lean on my past experience to say, right, it's hard. You march forward and just find a way of dealing with it. And then, if you need to, you reach out to people and say, this is difficult. But it's understanding that however dark, however difficult, there is always a way to deal with everything. And it's just finding that way. And that's what I've done. So, it could be financial issues over the years. It could be something at home, could be at work. It doesn't matter what it is. There's always a way to deal with it. And there's always someone willing to listen. So it's just about finding those strategies and those support mechanisms that you need that are right for you. And that's why I like to share my experience, because someone else will be going, I don't understand when people are talking about mental health, what their symptoms are. I don't recognize it. But if we've got people which are sharing that experience, they go, but I do resonate with that person. And then at that point, they don't feel as lonely and they know that it can be managed, it can be dealt with. So that's my view on it.
Yeah, it's such an important one. We've said this before on the podcast, but I have grown up with, well, not grown up with the phrase, but I guess as I reflect back on my life, when life has hit me hard at times, and I've been knocked and gone one way or another, both mentally, emotionally, just in many different ways. But there's that phrase, and we might all just be old enough. Sass, you might be too young. You might be too young for this.
I have heard you say it lots of times. This is why for YouTube watchers, I was just mimicking the the movement.
Weebles wobble, but they don't wobble, fall but
they
down.
Don't fall down. Yeah. That's superb.
Because
superb.
They can take a battering. So you'll have to Google it, everybody. Google weebles wobble, but they won't fall down. And you'll see the adverts where they bounce around, but they always bounce back. And that's been my experience, right? And it's for the same reasons that you say, that, you know, there's somebody out there that can help. There's somebody out there that's been through it. There's somebody out there that's come up with a solution. Or there's somebody out there that just says, I'm here. And all of those things are so important. It does behove us all to be here at some point for somebody else. So it's really critical. But
the other thing as well is sometimes it's just enough to accept that today is a bad day. So rather than focusing on it and going, oh no, it's going really badly, and then all of a sudden that's all consuming, to say, yep, it's a bad day, I just let it go. It's easier said than done. But if you just kind of lean into that and just say, I know it's going to be bad, but I've got through days like this before, I could do it today, tomorrow we try again.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a bad day, not a bad life, as the song goes. It's more than true. Stuart, listening to you talk makes me think about a lovely, lovely thing I read just a couple of weeks ago. I've shared it many times since, about the lighthouse theory. So ultimately, you are so impactful, but perhaps don't even realize it. And the concept is, of course, oh God, another nautical theme. Probably this stupid roll neck I'm wearing keeps making me think of sailors. But ultimately, the light spins around, right? And when it's on you, it's really intense and amazing. But it's not just that. If you're on a boat on an ocean, you're looking for that light. And I bet you there are now hundreds of people who look for your light. And what I would absolutely love to do for you, based on the ambition you shared at the start of the recording, well, before we hit record, sneak peeks, everyone, was that you do want to keep building on this mental health awareness. You do want to be part of EV related panels. And I think there's an amazing niche for you, which I will pledge for you that I will try and open doors for, which is on those early stages of going EV, those worries, those anxieties, those myths, the things that are all in the press but don't resonate with you. Let's get you on stage to really shine a light on that with your unique experience from your standpoint. How's that sound?
Works to me. Love it. That'd be brilliant.
We've got you on a journey, Stuart, and we're thrilled to play a little part in that. And as I say, you are one of the easiest awards that we made over the Christmas cracker period. It was just like, well, you know, who of the nominations? And so we had an opinion. And we did have an opinion. But of course, we need that opinion validated by people out there. And people out there validated the opinion time and time and time again. So it was the easiest award that we could make. It really was. But with all of that in mind, we have a closing tradition here on the EV Cafe podcast.
It's so stupid. Yes. It's so stupid.
I'm sorry. You can get off. It's not stupid at all. It's extremely powerful, Stuart. This is a very powerful end closing tradition. Stephen Bartlett has got nothing on this closing tradition.
No, apart from millions of viewers.
Well, apart from millions of followers, but, you know, who cares about that? So we have a closing tradition, and it is to present you, sir, with the EV Cafe magic wand. There we go. Look, so this is coming to you, Stuart, and you will now get to make a wish. 1 second, here it comes. There you go. It's all the way over there. He's got it.
Right.
He's got it.
Indeed.
So give us your magic wand wish.
So if there's one thing that I could do today to make happen, it would be that we make EVs as accessible and as inclusive as possible. So we take into account people's needs and understandings and just make it simple so that you don't have to think about it, and everyone can then benefit from a fun way to drive with cleaner air around them. That's what I would like.
And Stuart, do you have a view of what might need to happen in order to that? Because I think we've got a lot of quite complicated terminology and language and opinion and all of those things. Is there one thing that sort of springs to mind that would help?
So the thing that always springs to mind to me is when people are selling EVs, they don't talk about things like the EV tariff at home. So it's that wider living with an electric vehicle type scenario. So yes, there's no clutch and gears, but it's what does it mean to go and use a car in a public charger? What do I need to do at home to reduce that cost? And it's just understanding those simple things of how do I live with this new machine that I'm going to get, and what's it going to mean to my bank balance? So I think the EV salespeople should all have to have electric cars so that they have the experience, and then when they're selling it, they know what to tell people. Because back in 2014, when I got my first EV, no one knew what it meant to drive an electric car. So I did my homework. Well, I say my homework, there wasn't much out there back then, but I really started to think about it. But there were so many things I thought, oh, people need to know this before they pick up the keys to their car. So for me, it's just giving that all-round living experience that happens after you've driven off the forecourt, not before.
Brilliant.
I'm going to go on touch on something you said in your point, which was about their bank account. It strikes me there's two different types of account that we can tap into. One is bank account, if you are lucky enough to have a driveway and can tap into all that stuff, then great. But even if you can't, the numbers still probably are relatively favourable for a standard passenger car, what with the grants and the mileage and everything else. The second type of account, however, that I think we should be talking about a lot more is what I call the emotional bank account. So there's lots of ways in which having an EV can make you feel a lot better. Now, that doesn't have to be a touchy-feely, huggy thing. That can be something really physical as well. Like, I know a lot of people are struggling with changing diesel gears as an older age of population of driver. Look how many people of a certain age are buying electric cars because it's a one-pedal situation. You're not thumping the brake all the time. They're comfortable, they're designer, they're ergonomic. So yeah, let's have a dual approach to this. If finances aren't your trigger, maybe that emotional well-being is.
Absolutely.
I love that, because particularly in the world of commercial vehicles, and I would go there, wouldn't I? But having just...
It wouldn't be a show without the van man talking about a van.
Oh, man.
I was actually really worried about you. I was going to ask if you're okay. You haven't mentioned vans once.
I got my little fix knowing that Stuart's son is out there slogging away in an e-transit van doing the work for DPD, which is great. For those drivers in particular, there is no financial benefit because they're just jumping in and doing a job. The vehicle is doing the work, right? And it's doing it in a much more effective way. It's much, much smoother. It's much, much quieter. And we all know how when we are stressed, you know, you want the noise to go away. And, oh, okay, maybe it's just me. But
is that your magic wand wish, Paul?
Yeah.
Shut up.
Just go away. Shut up.
but I do get stressed with noise, and so you know, electric vehicles take away my road rage for the most, you know, because I used to get quite angry, but I don't. And driving an electric truck today, it was just so easy. I mean, I didn't get to drive it because I don't have a truck license, but it was so easy relatively to driving a slow diesel, change the gears, lots of noise, blah, blah, blah. But it was a thing of beauty. So I agree with you, Sass.
Can I tell you a secret, and all of the viewers, and this is whatever time this goes out, yesterday... I posted off my D2 and my D4, which any commercial vehicle driver should know, is your truck and bus license application. Whoop, whoop. So I will be shortly qualified to drive said truck.
Ooh, up to 26 ton, is that?
No, I'm going full waxy, 1C2, the whole lot.
Oh, you're going to go C1E as well?
I'm going to do it all, yes.
Wowzers. Oh, well, that's a conversation for another day.
Well, yeah, indeed.
I've been thinking
so
about this for some time.
Next time you see me on the EV rally, Stuart, it may be because I've pulled up in a truck.
Indeed. There was one other area I wanted to talk about in terms of inclusions.
Speak on.
when we first met, Sarah, I was talking to you about my son after he passed his test with not being able to publicly charge his electric car. So he had an account with a traditional bank. I won't name them. And he went to go and charge his car and it was rejected. So he tried again and it was rejected. And because at the time he was 17, his bank wouldn't allow him to do pre-authorizations on his bank account because he was under 18. Now, I think some of the newer digital banks are allowing that. But for me, it was an area that I would want to work on, is to say, how do we get new drivers that have just passed their tests so that they can publicly charge and not be stuck somewhere working out, how do I get home because I can't charge my car?
This came up the other day on the EVA England webinar that I did with Paythrough and ZapMap, because it's such an archaic system. And the flip side of this, the flip problem of this, is that some of the charge point operators are not allowing those what we call challenger banks, those modern banks, Monzos, the Revoluts, because you can actually get away with having an account with not much money in it and the pre-auth goes through, but the final balance doesn't clear. So you're right, there's a long, long way to go. And segments of the society are being left behind, whether that's one end or the other end or somewhere in the middle. We need to take everyone with us.
Absolutely. So it's highlighting those scenarios and just asking the question, what can we do to make that experience smoother and then overcome that little hurdle that's just stopping it from happening?
Fabulous way to end. Thank you, Stuart. What a great point.
Absolutely right. Well, I think we could almost clip this bit and send it out as a short at some point in the future. But Stuart, what a fabulous treat it has been to have you on, and thank you for sharing in such a beautiful way. So we have got lots of other conversations on the website, so you can head over to the website, of course, evcafe.org, and we've got over 150 podcasts now. What a testimony to the breadth and length of the electric vehicle community, but also some you can find them on Apple and Spotify and all of that kind of stuff. And if you need a good deal on an electric vehicle, you can find that on our webpage. Yes, you can, over on evcafe.org/leasing. Yeah, so check that out. Some cracking deals there. So everybody, check out those other podcasts. Do connect with Stuart on LinkedIn. You know he's going to find out how he can help you. Have a great day, everybody.